Thank you for listening to this message from Hope Fellowship in Carrollton, Texas. We pray this message encourages you and impacts your life. Feel free to pass this MP3 along to your friends and family, and for more information, visit us on the web at hopedfw.com.
Well, Father, we do thank you for your goodness and greatness. Daddy, we thank you that you always know the best. And Lord, even when we can't figure it out, Lord, we lean into you and we lean into the fact your word says that my ways and thoughts are not your ways and thoughts. And so, Lord, just continue to teach us how to contend. Teach us how to pray for one another. Teach us how to pray into your presence and into your greatness to see the wind of your spirit always released into the situation. Lord, we love you and we give you praise. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I really don't know which way we're supposed to go today. I'll just be honest with you. You know, it's an interesting week. You know, usually when you're a small body in a church plant, you don't have a week like this week. I mean, you know, where there's two life and death situations and how it works out and how you're just leaning into God and going, God, you know the best. And you go and you lay hands and you continue to decree God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. And I believe God wants to teach us a lot as a body of the journeying this week. God wants to teach us a lot about journeying with Him in this past season of praying and contending for Steve. You know, He wants to teach us how to contend in the next season. God wants to give us His love in us. You know, the week started out on Monday. I was riding my bike, and which I just put in 500 miles in 8 months. Come on, I felt good about myself. I love Run Keeper. It keeps me up to date, and it gets to flash it on Facebook, and I get to go, oh, man, I'm something. Just kidding. That's what Facebook's for. That's exactly right. While ago, it was the good thing. That was the flesh of Mike. Man, see, look at me. 500 miles. Nah, 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 nah. But God teaches us more about His nature when you walk and you journey with something like Steve. But on that bike ride on Monday, I was really wrestling with who and everything and what God puts in our life. And the bottom line, that God allows everything. Don't spill that, Andrew. He's got a full cup there. It's good, good. Wendy Kay's a little worried you're going to spill it on him, on her, excuse me. But God is to teach us about love. Did you realize everything that has ever been put and happened in your life is to teach you about His love? Steve being here was to teach us about God's love. Did you know your job? Did you know that the city you live in, everything that's going on in your life right now, God is trying to use to teach you about His love? What does it say in John 13? That they will know you are my disciples by how well you preach and teach? How does the world know that we're His disciples? Any great scholars out there know this answer? There you go. Way to go. No wonder you're a prophet in the house, Andrew. Very well, very good. We are known by His disciples by how we love. It's never going to be at the end of the day when we're standing before God that it was all the great messages that were preached in America. And those are important. Because Scripture says that if there's not a preacher, how are they going to know about Jesus? So you need preachers. But you need love. And we need love in everything that we do. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Luke 10. Do you know the reason God, I believe, created outreach and it's to be a lifestyle is so that we could learn how to love? I can't beg you enough, implore you enough to come to outreaches that we do or to hear of a need in Hope. I love how Rebecca and the women and Rebecca Masden and Rebecca Page, first of all, and Karen and others, and just others who went, Shirley and others, Beth Harris, who went and prayed for Steve at different times at his place. You see, when you hear a need, you go there thinking that you're going to have the Zappo of the Holy Spirit. Anybody ever go to a need? You go to RO because, man, do I have a testimony for you. I was once a druggie and an alkie, and I'm going to give you the testimony and set you free. You go to Steve's house in Irving like Celia and I did. And you go there and you think, man, it's about God, Celia, and me, and man, we got it. And you go in there and you hear a precious man talk about his journey for 7 years. And you walk away to the car and you're going, it's not about Mike. It's not about Celia, but it's about the love of Christ. You see, this was a whole setup from God when Steve came into this church. It's a whole setup that you are here being part of the beginning of Hope Fellowship. God wants to teach us how to love. The very spouse He has given you, the very job and boss He has given you, bosses, the very employees He has given you, He wants to teach you how to love. Everything going on in your life right now, the very thing that God wants to do is to teach you how to love. Let's read Luke 10. Since we're doing this on the fly, let me find the scripture. Luke 10, 25. This is two out of the last 3 weeks. I've had a great message preached, and God just kind of does a little shifting and changing. I think it really fits of where we're at and God trying to teach us how to love. Behold, a certain lawyer from Hope Fellowship of North Texas stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? The Holy Spirit would tell us today, just as Jesus did then, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, Jesus answers, You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. Lord have mercy. Likewise, the Levite, assistant in the temple, when he arrived at the place, he came and looked, and he passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he got down in the ditch. He went to him. And he bandaged his wounds, pouring oil, pouring wine. And he set him on his own animal. And he brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So Jesus asked, Which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, He who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise. Great part of this story is it talks about how he met a man that was half dead. Can I tell you, we all have people in our lives that they're half dead. Maybe not physically. Spiritually, they're half dead. We're a nation that is half dead, if you will. And we are the sons and daughters of the Most High God that carry the grace of God within us. It's amazing. I've been doing a word study on the word grace. And one of the meanings of the word grace, you see, we're saved not by our great works. What's going to make me get into the ditch of a person's life is the grace of God that's in me. Because you see, by grace I'm saved. By God's grace, His unmerited favor. But this was what was cool about doing this word study. It's the divine influence. Let me read it exactly. You can look it up in your Strong's of the word. It's Strong's 5485. The divine influence upon the heart. You and I carry this message in the DNA of heaven that when the grace of God came blowing into our hearts, whether it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, nearing for me, or whenever it was, but hopefully every day you allow the wind of the Holy Spirit to bring a greater revelation of grace into your life. You see, when I said yes to God, when I got down on my knees and I was tired of my drugs and alcohol, there was this divine influence of God's heart that came into my heart. I'm connected heart to heart to the living God. Man, think about it, artists. I mean, think of the sunrises, how beautiful they are. Think of this divine influence of each and every one that comes into our heart. And that divine influence that touches my heart every day is what makes me get into the ditch of people who are half dead. You see, sometimes that divine influence has got to fight through our flesh. There were times when C and I would go to Steve's house to pray for him because he couldn't do it at 5. He could only have us come at 5:30. Was my flesh saying, man, you're going to have to fight through traffic. Gosh, coming back, we're going to be coming against traffic. Anybody come up with excuses when it's time to go? Andrew raises his hand. I do. Yeah, we all do. I thank God that I had a persistent wife that said, no, let's go. Because you see, I learned so much of this 2-year journey with Steve. I saw a man who understood the divine influence that God breathed upon his heart. You see, I've been asked to be part of the funeral, and I've already told C it's going to be the easiest funeral I've ever done. It's going to be sad. I want to be able to say, this is a man just like the Apostle Paul. He fought the good fight. He kept the faith, and he ran the race the way it's supposed to be ran. You see, you and I have this opportunity to run this same race with the excellence that Christ did, most of all. Think about how Jesus, I don't know about you, my ditch was bad when Jesus came down into the ditch. 8-year drug, alcohol issue. Maybe that's not your resume, but do you think back of how Jesus came into the ditch of your life, your marriage, your sickness? And He took that oil of love that was His blood that was shed on the cross. He took that wine that is joy. He counted it all joy to go to the cross, as it says in Hebrews. Don't pass these words of oil and wine because they're very important of what they mean prophetically to this story. Think of the people who have taken time to get down into your life. There's a long list of those in my life. And I'm thankful every day for those people who took time. I'm thankful every day that they came down and they loved, not only just to give me the milk of love, but as it says in Hebrews also, that there's the milk and the meat of word. There's some of us, we need to finally get off of mama's breast. Yeah, we need milk for that nurturing. But you see, the meat of God's word is the righteousness that calls me to grow up. It calls me to live as a man of God. You see, Rebecca was telling me this story this past week. She didn't even realize she was telling me a story that would go well for right here. She was talking about one time when one of her little girls that she had still had training wheels on, and her neighbor took time to teach, was it Lizzie? Teach Lizzie how to ride a bike because he took time to take the training wheels off. You see, this is what's so amazing about the Dad of Heaven. He wants to take the training wheels off of each and every one of us. But so what's so cool about Daddy, He's going to run next to our bike for a season. He's always going to be there. But I'm telling you, God wants to grow me and you and us as the body of Christ up with greater maturity. That now I start walking around, and when I speak, the divine influence of God is released to people's hearts. Where's your outreach at? Where's God calling you to release the divine influence of God to people's hearts? So next week when we have our church picnic, we're having the group from RO to come join us. I hope every one of them come and join us. Will you take the time to hear their story? Will you take their time to release the divine influence to their heart of the love of Christ? Who's somebody in this church that God would highlight to you, just like we were blessed to be highlighted by Steve, to get down in the ditch and take time to pour some oil on some wounds? Get time to pour some wine to release joy to a depressed heart. Amen? You know, I felt like we were to start Hope because it was going to be based out of a heart for outreach. A heart for outreach to the rich, to the middle class, to the poor, to the down and outers. How are you doing on outreach of pouring oil upon the hurting? How are you doing with pouring wine into the depressed and broken? What's amazing about this story, the Samaritan was despised in the Jewish culture. And if you think about it, so many times it's kind of like I would say, man, I don't want to drive against traffic. Come on, let's go pray for Steve. And yeah, I'd crucify my flesh. And again, I believe that we all need to ratchet up another level, if you will, to go and pour love upon those that may not be able to come to church every Sunday because they're sick. But those people in our workplace, in our neighbor next door who need some oil and wine poured upon them. Amen? Divine influence. And in closing, that we would learn to speak what God speaks, which is life. Yesterday I was telling C what's amazing about Steve's timing of his passing away. It was almost right at the very fall. If you remember our fast that we've been doing for 6 weeks, that we would take our unbelieving thoughts that we've been having and replace them with the Word of God. You see, with Steve's passing yesterday, almost to the minute, if you will, or the notice, I should say, the notice I got from his mom and dad was almost to the minute of fall. You see, the enemy would try to navigate into our thought life and say, see, that's what how God answers prayer. Yeah, God answered prayer. Took Stephen all the way home to be in the very arms of a loving father. How God answered prayer was how he answered the prayer for McKinley, a little 3-year-old baby girl. And I appreciate Coley in particular, how she went to the hospital and she hates being noticed like this and recognized like this, honored, and poured oil on McKinley every day with love, and upon Aaron every day in love. You see, I believe we can't speak truth until we learn how to pour love first. I want to say it again. There's some people in your life, they need truth. But God wants to do something in our hearts first where we learn how to pour the oil of love first. I believe when I speak truth without love, I'm nothing but a Pharisee in the New Testament. I have to learn how to love first. You see, when God was wrestling with me back to that bike ride on Monday, and he was talking to me about love, I didn't realize what would really unfold of this entire week. But as I was talking to God on this bike ride, Misty Edwards' song came on. And the story in her song of this one was, "Did you learn how to love?" God, and the song goes on. God doesn't care about how big your ministry is. He doesn't care about how much money you have in the bank. Did you learn how to love? those outreaches I tell you about, an outreach to Steve, for C and I can only speak for me, but I know my wife would echo amen. I learned how to love better because I got to minister to a precious man of God. You know, I look at Wendy Kay, and I know she's big like me on missions. Candace, you go on mission trips and you think you have something to give away. And you come back from Mardi Gras or wherever, and you realize that the people taught you more about love. That the Holy Spirit used a homeless person or a very wealthy person to teach you how to love. Are you learning how to love on your journey on this side of heaven? Are you learning how to love to forgive those who have hurt you? Are you learning how to love to let offenses go when people wound you? Are you learning how to love? Or are you passing on the other side? Or are you getting down into the ditch, and as you have freely received love, you're freely giving it away? I'm not called to every person in the ditch, and neither are you. But the ones I'm called to, I want to be faithful to get down there with them all the way to the end. And how God chooses to write the end of the story is up to God. You see, I went down to the hospital just a couple of times with McKinley. Well, see, I got down in the ditch a little bit with her. God chooses to write the rest of her story. Out of the hospital in 4 days, when the prognosis had been a whole lot for many more days than that. At first it's like 4 weeks in ICU, something like that. She's totally out of the hospital on the way of being healed in 4 days. Get down in the ditch with Steve and how God wants to write the rest of the story as I'm taking him home on Saturday, September 22nd, the first day of fall, because I want to bring him home. You see, I can't wrestle and arm wrestle with God because He says all I'm called to do, as it says in 1 Corinthians 3, is to plant the seed of the kingdom and to water it. But God writes the story. God gives the increase. Who needs to hear the story of love this week that God's going to bring your way? You know, you see, it's easy to see the homeless. It's easy to see the Steves. But how about a real wealthy looking dude that may be sitting in Starbucks that God would want to give you a word to because he's really half dead? In closing, there's my water. I think we need to start asking for spiritual eyes to start seeing people who are half dead. Because again, we live in North Dallas, a lot of wealthy people, but some of them are half dead. And if we've learned to know, if we've learned how to love, we'll be able to give him away. And that half dead person will become a living being. Amen? Grab your neighbor's hand. Scoot on down there, Keith. Go grab somebody's hand down there. There you go. You're not by somebody. Go by somebody. Andrew, reach around and grab Nancy's hand back there. There you go. Pray for your neighbor to the left or right and ask him to have the Holy Spirit to teach them how to love even better. Thank them that they already know how to love to the degree that they're at, but ask the Lord to teach them how to love even better. Ask the Lord how to teach them to raise up the anointing, the oil of God in their life that would even set the captives free even greater and faster. Ask the Holy Spirit to make the joy of the Lord the true strength in their life that the wine represents. Pray that on both neighbors, that the anointing, the oil of God would rise in our life and the joy of the Holy Spirit would be so real in our life that it would set us free and it would start setting people free that we come in contact with. That what would get real in our life, there would be no half-dead people around us because we're so alive. Pray it over your life. Lord, we thank you for all the ways that you're teaching us how to love better. Our spouses, our bosses, our employees, the people we come in contact with, the driver in front of us that just cut us off on the way to church or on the way to work, that you're teaching us how to love. You're teaching us how to pour forth our Daddy's kingdom on people. Lord, the cross that you endured displayed the greatest mark of love that the world would ever see. Lord, some trials that we walk through have the opportunity to display the love of our King Jesus in great ways. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.